This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
Let's bring him before the committee. Let's do this. Yep, I'm talking about the Biden people. All the people involved in the cover-up. Welcome back to the show. Our fourth and final hour on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD. Tomorrow is the deadline to respond to Chairman James Comer's interview request. He wants to talk to Biden's doctor, key family members, Dr. Kevin O'Connor. He is the former White House physician, Annie Tomasini, former deputy White House chief of staff, Ashley Williams, former deputy assistant to President Biden, Neera Tanden, former senior advisor to President Biden, Anthony Bernal, former chief of staff to First Lady Jill Biden, who, by the way, you know, there's some explosive audio that came out around that from Project Veritas. And it basically says that, and this is the big story of the hour brought to you by our buddy, Dr. Mike Venaria, VenariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile, VanariaDental, VenariaDental.com. It basically says that Joe Biden was in charge of the whole thing. The chief of staff, Anthony Bernal. So after an undercover meeting with DNC leader David Hogg, they exposed who had the true power in the Biden White House. And this is this guy who'll be hopefully hauled in here, James Comer, by James Comer. This Anthony Bernal.
Yes, nice to meet you. Yeah.
Off the record, of course.
Foundational question for me is, like, how corrupt is the DNC if so many people knew or few people knew about Biden?
Well,
the president of the United States.
I mean, I think the fact of the matter is the DNC is always going to be like a campaign arm of the president, ultimately. The bigger issue was like the inner circle that was around Biden.
This is David Hogg, the vice chair of the Democrat National Committee.
That's it.
And I can't stress you enough.
Like, Joe Biden's chief of staff, like, had an enormous.
Now, in addition to these people, let me finish this.
Power.
Joe Biden?
Joe Biden's chief of staff.
That was like an open secret at the left. Like, I would avoid him. Like, he was scary.
What was his name?
Anthony Bernal.
I've never seen him.
Exactly.
What do you mean?
He's just like a shadowy, like, Wizard of Oz type figure. That's what made him so, like, I knew how he looked, but I'm like, the general public wouldn't know how this man looked. But he wielded an enormous amount of power, and I can't stress to you how much power he had in the White House.
be amazing stuff. In addition to that, it's going to be Ron Klain, Anita Dunn, Mike Donilon, and Bob Bauer all hauled in as they try to figure out this alleged cover-up. And, you know, this is a really big deal, a really big deal. And I'm glad they're doing this. I'm glad we're going to try to hopefully get some answers on all this. I mean, we can hope, right? We can hope we can get some answers. I mean, we can figure this out. But this guy, Alex Thompson, who wrote this book, was on Fox News. And he said, you know, the second term plan was to basically have Biden show up, just kind of like have Biden show up and potentially, you know, act like he was kind of alive once in a while. Unbelievable.
On-time Biden aide basically admitting he shouldn't be running again. They said to you on page 85, he just had to win and then he could disappear for 4 years. He'd only have to show proof of life every once in a while. His aides could pick up the slack. Who would have been running the White House in a second Biden term?
Well, this person went on to say that when you're voting for a president, you're voting for the aides around him. But these aides were not even Senate confirmed aides. These are a White House aides. These were unelected people. And one of the things that really I think comes out in our reporting here is that if you believe, and I think a lot of these people do sincerely believe, that Donald Trump was and is an existential threat to democracy, you can rationalize anything, including sometimes doing undemocratic things, which I think is what this person is talking about.
So what they're trying to say to justify this is because they believe Trump was such a threat that they could do anything, including keep a dead guy in the White House and then just pretend that everything was fine. And they weren't confident that Biden was able to handle the 2 a.m. crisis. They were not, you know. And so from that perspective, all I can tell you is, my God, you know, at what point are we going to open up this investigation and say, what happened here? What happened here? How was it that this guy was allowed to stay in power this long when everybody knew that Joe Biden had lost his mind, and they were just covering this up anyway? And Jake Tapper, you know, finally, after all this time, saying this is worse than Watergate. Finally.
Away from your nose, behind the scenes.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, this brings me to your conclusion, which says Joe Biden is not Richard Nixon. The hiding and the cover-up of his deterioration is not Watergate. I'm not entirely sure I agree, Jake, with that conclusion.
The next line is it is an entirely separate scandal. It is a scandal.
Yes.
It is without question, and maybe even worse than Watergate in some ways.
Right.
Because Richard Nixon was in control of his faculties when he wasn't drinking. And, you know, so the idea that, we don't mean to exonerate. The only reason that we have the Watergate thing is there because we quote Archibald Cox, who was a Watergate investigator, talking about how powerful the presidency is and how presidents get surrounded by people who have a vested interest in keeping that president propped up. So that's the only reason we invoke Watergate, is just to make clear, like, it's not Watergate. Right. This is an entirely separate scandal. Maybe even worse. Maybe even worse.
Yeah, I think arguably it is worse, actually. So, Jake, I can't let you...
Thank you, Pierce. It is worse. Unarguably, it is worse.
Well, we're starting at the bottom, and these employees that we're bringing in, the four employees, are the ones that we believe actually operated the auto pen. We're starting with them. We're going to find out who gave them the authority to stick executive orders and pardons in the auto pen and press the power button and sign Joe Biden's signature. We believe this will lead to the higher up people, the Klains and the others that have been mentioned as the people who are actually running the country while Joe Biden was in his mental decline. So we're going to try to get the truth to the American people. And at the end of the day, this is very important, because so much of what was done at the end of the Biden administration was done by executive order using that auto pen. We don't believe that would be valid.
Yeah.
And that's important because Donald Trump's in court for a lot of things that he campaigned on, a lot of draining the swamp type issues. And they're being held up because of these executive orders that were authorized perhaps by unnamed bureaucrats and signed with an auto pen.
Mm. Yeah, Mr. Chairman. So
isn't that something? I mean, this is Newsmax First, I believe is the name of the show, that Mark Lauder asking that. I mean, that good. Bring haul these people in. you know, haul these people in and bring them in and do it now. Do it at this moment. Don't wait. Bring these people in before Congress and ask these questions. All it takes is one person who's willing to go under oath and tell the truth. That's all they have to do. Get one person under oath who's willing to come and tell the truth about what really happened, and then we can all hopefully then get the truth. So I truly hope that that's the case. And, you know, as we talked about earlier in the show, Daniel Turner, our buddy from Power of the Future, they're calling on Congress to investigate the validity of former President Joe Biden's signatures because they went through this investigation into over half a dozen Biden executive actions related to climate, and they believe they should be deemed null and void due to them being signed by AutoPen. So I, for one, am very, very happy that they are not going to let this go, and they should not let this go. This is crucial, way worse than Watergate. I mean, everybody did. I mean, I'm really tired of anybody even equating something like this to Watergate. You had a president of the United States who was mentally gone, and they covered this up, and they were willing to keep this guy in the Oval Office. They were willing to keep him as president of the United States of America because they just thought Trump was that terrible. So give me a break. Give me a break. Oh, by the way, James Comey, the seashells on a beach, we told Wolf Blitzer. This is hysterical. Oh, my God, this is amazing. Seashells on a beach.
But now you're back in his crosshairs, posting a photo online of seashells spelling out 8647, which has become a popular social media code for removing Trump from the presidency. You said you willingly met with the U.S. Secret Service about all of this, so you took the post down and said you did not realize at the time it could be associated potentially with violence, and you assumed it was a political message. What did you think the message was?
I thought it was a message of political opposition to Donald Trump done in a very clever way in seashells on a gigantic beach. And I had never heard, actually still haven't credibly heard.
In seashells on a beach. Maybe it was done by Joe Biden because, you know, he loves the beach. I'm just saying he loves being on the beach. He's a big, well, he loves the beach. Come on. Stop it. All right. Let's switch gears over to the one big, beautiful bill, as it's called. And, you know, we talked about Elon Musk's opposition to it earlier. I think what Senator Ron Johnson had to say about this to Maria Bartiromo today is really important, very critical. And we need the president now to step up. This has to happen. The bill has to pass, but this has to happen. It absolutely does. And I am of the absolute opinion, 100%, that if we don't get this right, we're going to pay a price for it in midterms, no doubt about it.
So you will vote to raise the debt ceiling if, in fact, you get these spending cuts that you're talking about?
Absolutely. All I've asked for is a commitment to pre-pandemic level spending and a process to achieve and maintain it. We've never had a process to control spending. Don't have a balanced budget requirement. The appropriation committees didn't work. Budget Act didn't work. Simpson-Bowles didn't work. The only thing I can see is a very business person's approach, line by line, exposed the grotesque waste and fraud and abuse. My guess, Maria, you go through $7,000 billion of spending, you'll be able to eliminate hundreds of billions people wouldn't even know other than the grifters who are sucking down that waste, fraud, and abuse. You have to do the work.
How much of that cuts Medicaid? Because that's what the Democrats are going to campaign on. So how much of it cuts some of the entitlement programs, Social Security? Does it change Social Security? Does it change Medicare, Medicaid?
No, I've completely taken Medicare and Social Security off the table when I do those pre-pandemic options. You know, listen, we need to reform the Obamacare portion of Medicaid. That's what's putting at risk Medicaid for the vulnerable, for disabled children. Again, we're all going to repeal and replace Obamacare, but now people are defending it. But again, you can even eliminate Medicaid. I've shown that. And there's still hundreds of billions of dollars, a couple hundred billion in discretionary, a couple hundred billion in other mandatory that is above and beyond 2019 outlays, plus up for population inflation, fully inflated 2019. There's literally about $400 to $500 billion of spending that's above those levels. So again, go back there as a business person would. This would be a 5-minute conversation in business. Say, guys, I told you could increase your budget based on inflation and the number of customers we serve. You're 10% above that. Cut it. Get back down to a reasonable level. That's, we need President Trump to lead on this. He needs to be fully committed to not funding the deep state at President Biden's levels.
Oh, I mean, how do you disagree with that? How do you disagree with that? You can't. That's the bottom line. You can't disagree with that. It has to happen. We got to do this the right way. It has to happen. It's so important. Because if it doesn't happen, then we are going to have the problem of losing midterms. I'm telling you, that's the problem. And we have to get this right. You and I both know that everything is on the line here. Not just the future of our country, but, I mean, the future of... So once the Democrats get in power...
Wall Street analysts have coined a new term called the taco trade. They're saying Trump always chickens out on your tariff threats, and that's why markets are higher this week. What's your response to that?
I kick out?
Chicken out.
Oh, isn't that nice? Chicken out. I've never heard that. You mean because I reduced China from 145% that I set down to 100 and then down to another number? And I said you have to open up your whole country, and because I gave the European Union a 50% tax tariff, and they called up and they said, please, let's meet right now. Please, let's meet right now. And I said, okay, I'll give you till June 9. I actually asked them, I said, what's the date? Because they weren't willing to meet. And after I did what I did, they said, we'll meet anytime you want. And we have an end date of July 9th. You call that chickening out? Because we have $14 trillion now invested, committed to investing when Biden didn't have practically anything. Biden, this country was dying. You know, we have the hottest country anywhere in the world. I went to Saudi Arabia. The king told me. He said, you got the hottest we have the hottest country in the world right now. 6 months ago, this country was stone cold dead. We had a dead country. We had a country people didn't think it was going to survive. And you ask a nasty question like that. It's called negotiation. You set a number. And if you go down, you know, if I set a number at a ridiculous high number and I go down a little bit, you know, a little bit, they want me to hold that number, 145% tariff. Even I said, man, that really got up. You know how it got? Because of fentanyl and many other things. And you added it up. I said, where are we now? We're at 145%. I said, whoa, that's high. That's high. They were doing no business whatsoever. And they were having a lot of problems. We were very nice to China. I don't know if they're going to be nice to us, but we were very nice to China. And in many ways, I think we really helped China tremendously because, you know, they were having great difficulty because we were basically going cold turkey with China. We were doing no business because of the tariff, because it was so high. But I knew that. But don't ever say what you said. That's a nasty question. Go ahead. To me, that's the nastiest question.
No, let me just say, too, The American people are clearly fine with the president using his negotiating skills, and that's part of the reason why they elected the guy, because of his negotiating skills. And they want to see him get this stuff done, and that's what he does. He negotiates. If you come to the table and you look weak, you're going to lose. That's the bottom line. But oh, he did not like that question. Obviously, he did not like that question. Clearly, he did not like that question. That is not a very, you know, I mean, you can figure that out on your own. The president did not like that question. But, you know, maybe what will happen is at the end of the day, after all this is said and done, we'll just have people lose their right to vote. Like actress Kyra Sedgwick, who's afraid she's going to lose her right to vote. I have to say, she still looks like Kyra Sedgwick. Like a lot of people in Hollywood, they've had so much work done that they wind up looking phony. But she actually looks kind of like herself. But she's afraid that she's going to lose her right to vote under President Trump. Is that a thing? Am I missing that? Is that really? I haven't been paying attention to the news. Are we really talking about repealing that amendment that gave women the right to vote? What is it? The 17th, I think. Is that a thing? I didn't know that. I guess I got to pay more attention to all these various different things. It seems like I'm a little distracted lately, but I'll try my best because that's a big deal. Like, well, you know, the 17th Amendment to the Constitution is going to be repealed. And I would think that the next time I go on Fox News, I'm probably going to be asked about that. And I probably should have an answer about that, don't you think? Because if I don't, then, you know, it'd be awkward. I'd be like, well, didn't you know that they're going to repeal the 17th Amendment to the Constitution? I'd be like, no, I didn't do it here, you know. But OK. I mean, I guess.
I felt like it was important to get on the blower and talk a little bit about how I'm feeling and wondering how you're feeling about the state of our union. I'm finding myself pretty scared about a lot of things, scared about losing my rights as a woman, scared about losing my right to vote as a woman, scared about losing autonomy over my body as a woman, scared of my parents' social security checks, scared of food banks running out of food and not being able to replenish because they're no longer getting federal funding.
What about spiders? Are you scared of spiders? That's what I want to know. Because, I mean, a lot of people are. I think they call it anacrophobia, if I'm not mistaken. Is that right? When you're afraid of spiders? What about that? Are you afraid of that? You're afraid of everything. So I'm curious, what aren't you afraid of? Wouldn't it be easier, Keira Sedgwick, if you did a video explaining what you're not afraid of? Like, start there. Here are all the things I'm not afraid of. And then, you know, go into, it'll be like one thing left. Because it seems to me, I don't know, that you are a person who is paranoid. All right, coming up, the Southern Poverty Law Center is a horrific organization, as you know. Now they're going after somebody who President Trump called out by name today earlier, and that's Charlie Kirk. We'll talk about that with our buddy Christopher Tremalier from the Washington Examiner. As we continue here in our fourth and final hour, don't go away.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Attention sports enthusiasts, keep the adrenaline pumping and elevate your game day with Chumba Casino. It's completely free to play. No purchase necessary. Whether you're cheering from the stands, on the move, or relaxing at home, Chumba Casino brings the thrill of social casino directly to your fingertips. Experience the ultimate social casino adventure with reels of casino-style games offering hundreds of exciting options to choose from and fresh new releases every week. There's always something new and thrilling to explore. From action-packed social slots and classic blackjack to engaging bingo and solitaire, the fun never stops. Plus, enjoy generous daily login bonuses and a fantastic free welcome bonus to kickstart your social gaming journey. Dive into the excitement. Discover a world where you can play for your chance to redeem some serious prizes and have a blast along the way. Don't miss out. What are you waiting for? Join now and immerse yourself in nonstop fun and adventure with Chumba Casino. Get in on the action today at ChumbaCasino.com and make every day a Chumba day. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime.
Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
I'm Emma Grede, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Grede, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rich Scioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
All right, joining me now on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, Christopher Tremoulier is an editor and commentary columnist. He writes for the Washington Examiner. Most importantly, he's one of ours. He's a local guy, he's a Philly guy, and he joins us now. What's up, my man? Good to see you.
Likewise. Thanks for having me. Appreciate the invite.
You wrote a piece about one of the, I think, most loathsome organizations in America, the Southern Poverty Law Center, which, you know, by all accounts, sounds great until you really understand what they're all about.
Oh, yeah. They have a very great sounding name, sounds very sophisticated and, you know, nonpartisan, official government oriented like organization. And it's nothing but a left-wing hate organization. I mean, when you get right down to it, there's no point in sugarcoating at all. So, yeah, so that's pretty much what they are. I think everyone probably listening to your show knows this by now. I mean, they've been around since 1971. So they don't have a shred of dignity or nonpartisanship in their entire organization.
And their goal is to go after conservative groups, right, and try to act like we're all a bunch of hate mongers.
At least unofficially, I mean, their stated goal was started as a law firm founded in 1971. And their stated goal and their original purpose was so that the entire country could have experience the civil rights movement for whatever it means. Again, that sounds great. Sounds official, you know, good, wholesome, whatnot. But since then, you know, or pretty much throughout their entire existence, they've done a majority of their time targeting conservative, Republican, right-wing organizations, and you know, innocent organization, anything basically that they disagree with, they try to target and make like this big threat, this scaremongering, scare tactics that the left likes always does with any group or organization they disagree with.
And so what's the latest that you wrote about today in the Washington Examiner, Chris? Christopher?
Sure. So the Southern Poverty Law Center went out and they declared Charlie Kirk, I'm sure your audience is familiar with that, as you are, the Turning Point USA. They included that organization in their 2024 hate and extremism report. Once again, it's kind of like a tired thing that anytime there's an organization that I think it's an organization that the SPLC feels poses a threat to their left-wing ideology or attempt to spread their ideology or their, that threatens their existence to their ideology, they automatically put on their hate group watch. I mean, they've done it with Turning Point. They've done it with Moms for Liberty. I mean, you can't get more hate-mongering than moms trying to fight for hate, you know.
Yeah.
That you go back about 12 years ago with the Family Research Council was one of the famous or more infamous incidents in which a person, the Family Research Council was listed as a hate group by the SPLC, and some like maniac went to go to their headquarters and attacked them and shot one of their guards and wanted to spread Chick-fil-A on their feces. So that's the radicalness and the toxicity that comes with people and accolades of this organization. So it's not good. They try to position themselves as this noble, benevolent organization. And in my opinion, they're anything but benevolent and more along those sides of maliciousness.
Yeah. And, you know, I saw Charlie Kirk last night was on with Laura Ingraham, and he was talking about masculinity, which obviously is, you know, come under attack. Before I get to that, though, I mean, Charlie Kirk is out on these college campuses. He has very, I think, thoughtful debates with people. He's a Christian. He's got a lot of integrity and values. He's a young guy. My only beef with him was that he went on Gavin Newsom's podcast because I think that helps normalize Gavin Newsom. But other than that, there's nothing hateful about him. It's just the typical trope, right? I mean, of just, you know, if you're somebody who's a Christian and you're white and you believe in these things, then you're obviously a hateful person. And once you get tagged as being a hate monger or a racist or anything else. It's hard to kind of scrub that off, or at least it was. I just don't think, Christopher, and you tell me if I'm wrong here, I just don't think the Southern Poverty Law Center has the same meaning it used to have today. I don't think if you ask the average, like, a black man in Philadelphia, if he would think that this is an organization fighting for his civil rights, you know, especially the ones who voted for Trump, and there were a lot of them who did, for example.
Yeah. I would argue that you could ask pretty much the majority of men or women in Philadelphia, and they probably wouldn't know the SPLC at this point. It has kind of lost its I hate to use the word prestige because I don't that seems like a positive description of it.
Well, I think they one time had it. I mean, at one point they made a movie about the guy who founded it, right? I mean, probably at one point they did pre-internet, but I think we've done a good job of exposing them as just a group that goes after really conservative and or Christian and probably Jewish organizations.
Yeah, basically anything that you could pretty much assign that our founding fathers believed in, or our cherished American liberties and principles that, you know, that conservative Republicans routinely espouse on their political platform, the SPLC targets as like a hate group or yeah, extremist group. And it's one thing I put in my article is that they more resemble the Soviet Union's Cheka and the secret police, you know, that went after their political opponents than an organization that protects Americans' ideals and liberties. And that's pretty much what they are. They're like this, you know, weaponized institution that just tries to, like, discredit. I would probably say discredit now and demonize. Like you said, they kind of lost their cachet, so to speak, of what their influence. So the only people I think they really appeal to now is pretty much the left wing or the far left wing who believe all these things that are coming out from their ideologies and their beliefs. But other than that, from, like, I would argue that since Trump and maybe even a little before Trump, you know, with the MAGA conservatism, they've kind of been discredited, as have a lot of these left wing claims of, you know, racism. And I mean, look at this most recent news. You know, the WNBA launched this huge investigation of the supposed racist incident, because that's what the left does. They just constantly throw out these accusations, these baseless accusations, yep, and they're often, you know, unsubstantiated and turned out to be, you know, wrong. It's like since Jussie Smollett seemed to be like the top of the beginning of the downfall of all this, and they kind of like been exposed through that ever since. So that's what the SPLC does now, and that's what they've been doing. And they targeted Charlie Kirk, and, you know, he kind of went up and called them out and said they're a past their prime organization. And, you know, if you think about it, it's ridiculous to put Turning Point USA in the same sentence and classification as the Ku Klux Klan and neo-Nazis is what the SPLC did. And Charlie Kirk called them out and said, it's, you know, it's ridiculous and good for him, and he should do that. And he even said, you know, now being targeted by the SPLC is a badge of honor. And I think that's how diminished in value the SPLC and influence the SPLC has become over the past, you know, 10, 15 years or so.
Christopher Tremaglia is with me. He's a local guy, writes for the Washington Examiner. And you're a man. I mean, you're a guy. I'm not a biologist, but I know that you are a man. You're a man's man. The story about Democrats spending all this money on this stupid SAM program to try to figure out how to talk like men, I mean, it's comical, right? This idea that they have to study and research how to be able to relate to men. I think after years and years of lecturing us and telling us what to eat and belittling us and also trying to take our jobs, because that's a key thing. Whether you were a cop, they wanted to defund you. You worked in the energy sector, they wanted to get rid of your job. Border Patrol, AOC still out there saying we want to get rid of all those jobs. I mean, they have no idea how to relate to particularly working class men. I would say white, black, Latino. I mean, they just have no idea.
Oh, no, absolutely. I 100% agree with you. You can even go evolve from working class men. I would even argue they have difficulty identifying or relating to the everyday American.
Yeah.
I mean, they have moved so far left with this stuff. And so, I mean, and they make the Soviet Union look like Benjamin Franklin. They got to this point where it's so, like, radicalized on their left, their neo-Marxism and their cultural Marxism that they have today, that they've gone with these completely, I mean, you can't just say it other than asinine or maniacal, like this thing with, like, identifying the man. Like, what do you mean to identify men? Like, you just talk to them, have a conversation. Like, how hard is that to do? It's condescending, it's insulting, it's offensive, and it's comprised of their intellectual arrogance and sanctimony, that they think they're kind of like morally superior to people and they have to talk down to them and like and study them. No, we have to study men to relate to them. Like, you know, it's like when Tim Walz the other a couple of weeks ago said he was the code talker for Kamala Harris's campaign for white people. Like, you know, what is any the things that the left and the liberals and Democrats get away with are the exact things they claim to hate, except it's the opposite idea, opposing ideology. And it's gone to the point where it's progressed to an element of fanaticism that needs to be kind of regularly attacked and exposed and pointed out to the everyday American to see this is how far the, you know, opposing Democrat political party has become in 2025 in the 21st century. And more importantly, how much more radical and, you know, crazy they're going to get in the future if they get back into power, which obviously, as we all know, inevitably they're going to come back into power at some point. But I hope that people just pay attention and, you know, you can kind of get the messaging out and to prolong that, you know, return as much as possible.
Chris,
prevent that return as much as possible. Sorry.
Oh, no, absolutely. And I agree with you. You're spot on about that. Christopher, where can people follow you? And certainly we'll post a link to your article in the Washington Examiner.
Sure. Yeah, you can go me on the Washington Examiner webpage, Christopher Tremolia, or you can follow me on Twitter at Chris W. Tremo, or I'm sorry, X at Chris W. Tremo.
Yeah, it's getting hard to say follow me on X or just X me. It still sounds weird whenever I say it to somebody like, hey, X me. I don't know. It's just bizarre.
Yeah, it does. It still feels like that Twitter has a contemporary recognition and has been gone for like 2 years. So.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. Everybody's always correcting themselves. But we'll follow you on X at Chris_Tremo. Is that right?
Chris W. Tremo.
Chris W. Tremo. All right, buddy. Thanks for joining us today. We appreciate it.
All right. Thanks for having me on. Take care, Rich.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of casino-style games like bingo, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. T&Cs apply.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream.
Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
I'm Emma Greed, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
So Harvard sucks, and to quote the president, don't get mad at me, they're getting their ass kicked. That's right. That's what he said. He said it. Welcome to the show. Glad you're here today. 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli as we get ready to turn it over to Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. And just as a programming note, tomorrow I will be in the city. I'm doing America Reports with Sandra Smith, and then I'll be doing my show from the Fox News radio studios up there. So that'll be fun. I'm looking forward to that. Thank you for always watching and tuning in. I appreciate it very, very much. It's always fun to, you know, get to do that, and I enjoy it, and you enjoy it, and we all enjoy it. We all love it. We all love it. So President Trump says, look, I don't want to hurt Harvard, but Harvard is doing this itself, all right? Harvard is doing this all by itself, and, you know, they don't need any help here because they're just, they're the worst. And they really have no cards to play here. I mean, that's the thing. They get all this money from international students who pay the full freight. And, you know, Education Secretary Linda McMahon was talking about this earlier on Fox News, and she was saying it. You know, Harvard is, it's not that the president wants to hurt Harvard, but Harvard has a lot of problems. And a lot of the anti-Semitism actually began there on Harvard because they were liars about defending free speech. They were going after people for the wrong use of their pronouns. And then they decided all of a sudden when it came to bashing Jews, suddenly they were like, oh, we're a free speech zone. Stop it.
Really, I think, triggered a focus for the larger elite universities, especially in the Northeast, was the lack of attention that was being paid in the enforcement relative to anti-Semitism. And one of the things that President Trump did campaign on was he said he was going to put a stop to it. It was illegal on campuses. It was clearly in violation of Title VI. These are civil rights issues on campuses, and parents who are sending their children to these schools and those students that are on campuses have a right to study in a safe environment and not be afraid to be on campus. And that's what we were starting to see, and it called our attention to that. And then we started, as in the general movement of changes in education thought, as I mentioned earlier, I do think that we started to delve a little deeper and to make sure that we were trying to encompass how should we be looking at education all across the country. But there was a focus in the Northeast to start with these elite universities, because that's where we saw most of the issues happening.
The other problem, too, of course, is that you have a lot of these schools that let dudes play against biological women. And that's also a problem, a big problem, and it needs to stop. And the Biden administration was just trying to do a flat-out rewrite of Title IX without Congress doing anything about it. And that is wrong. And thank God Trump won, because otherwise right now, the new Title IX, the rewritten Title IX by the president, that's exactly what we would be dealing with right now.
I can tell you that it absolutely is against Title IX. Title IX was established so that women had equal place in sports, and this is just doing the opposite this particular time. And we cannot allow women to have to compete against men in sports. Not only is it unfair, they have an unfair advantage physically, but also it's a safety issue as well. Mm-hmm. When you have seen, you know, Riley Gaines talk about how hard she trained and competed and then was beaten, you know, in her race, but she would have clearly won if she'd just been competing against women. So it was Stephanie Turner who took a knee in her fencing competition, mm-hmm, rather than face a male. And it's just we have to realize this is the law. It's Title IX, and I think the Attorney General is right to open this investigation, and it just shows that all of the agencies are working together to make sure that life on campus for all students is safe, mm-hmm, and universities are following the law.
And women and men and parents around everywhere say thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for doing this, because it's really, really important. Okay? It's important. But Harvard is, you know, taking in all these international students. And I just got to say, as a parent, I mean, that's not cool when our kids haven't been able to go there and our kids can't go there.
See, look, Harvard has been a disaster. They've taken $5 billion plus. $5 billion. Nobody knew that they were making this kind of, if we didn't do this, nobody would have, we would have never found this out, Pam. They're taking $5 billion. And I'd rather see that money go to trade schools. And by the way, they're totally anti-Semitic at Harvard, as you know, and some other colleges, too, in all fairness to them. And it's been exposed, very exposed. And I think they're dealing very badly. Every time they fight, they lose another $250 million. Yesterday, we found another $100 million. And they have, you know, they have a fund, an endowment, $52 billion. All right. They get a lot of that from the United States. And I think it's ridiculous. I think this, everyone's coming up to me saying, we love the idea of trade schools with that kind of money and money from others, but money from them. You can have the best trade schools anywhere in the world. You give them to Iowa, Indiana, lots of good states, well-run states, and you give them the money. They can only be used for trade schools, and they'll teach people how to build motors and cars and AI.
Yeah, and that's the other thing, too. I mean, with all these international students coming here.
I want to make sure that the foreign students are people that can love our country. We don't want to see shopping centers exploding. We don't want to see the kind of riots that you had. And I'll tell you what, many of those students didn't go anywhere. Many of those students were troublemakers caused by the radical left lunatics in this country. But I want to make
sure. Can I just say one thing, too? What about all the Chinese spies that come here from China? Because you can't just come here. China doesn't just let. Then you're on campus and you're spying. So that's a problem. And Harvard is, for all these international students that they take here, is it so wrong to say that they should come to America and not want to hate the place? I don't think that's or just don't take government money. There's another solution. Just don't take government money and do whatever the hell you want, like Hillsdale College does. Whatever you want to, just do whatever you want to do. If you don't take the government money, then the government can't kick you around. I'm fine with that. I'm okay with that.
How will the confrontation with Harvard end? Do you foresee?
I don't know. I don't know. Harvard's got to behave themselves. Harvard is treating our country with great disrespect, and all they're doing is getting in deeper and deeper and deeper. They've got to behave themselves. You know, I'm looking out for the country and for Harvard. I want Harvard to do well. I want Harvard to be great again, probably, because how could it be great? How could it be great when you have Harvard announced 2 weeks ago that they are going to teach remedial mathematics, remedial meaning they're going to teach low grade mathematics.
Well, DeSantis
like
needs that.
2 + 2 = 4. How did these people get into Harvard if they can't do basic mathematics? How did they do it? I mean, people with 1600 on their boards don't get in, and they're letting people in, and they're bragging about how they're teaching them basic mathematics. Where do these people come from? So we have to look at the list, and Harvard has to understand. The last thing I want to do is hurt them. They're hurting themselves. They're fighting. You know, Columbia has been really, and they were very, very bad what they've done. They're very anti-Semitic and lots of other things. But they're working with us on finding a solution. And, you know, they're taking off that hot seat. But Harvard wants to fight. They want to show how smart they are. And they're getting their ass kicked.
Boom. That's it. They're getting their ass. Look, I didn't say it. Sue Alberici, don't get mad at me. He said it. I just simply played the clip. That's all I did. Okay? That's all I did. All right, listen, have a great rest of your night tonight. Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla is up next. Keep the conversation going on X at Rich Zeoli. And remember, June 20th, it's in a couple weeks, our next show, first show of the summer. We're going to kick off summer the right way, live at my happy place, the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. So I want to see you there, so you better be there. June 20th, Grand Hotel Cape May, and I'll see you there. Thank you for listening.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way. With stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A
monster shot.
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
I'm Emma Greed, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.